Today's date is February the 18th, 2020. We have quite a treat today. I am Joyce Johnston with the Polk County Historical Commission, and I am visiting with Colonel Howard Daniel, who is going to tell us about his life growing up in Livingston and where it has taken him. Colonel Daniel.
Thank you, ma'am. I was born in Livingston, Texas, delivered by Dr. Flowers. That's when my journey started, in 1937, the 16th of January, 37. Mm-hmm. I grew up in the Trinity River Bottom, a place they call Swartout, and that's really close to the dam site there. And of course, my dad's name was Howard Daniel Sr., and my mom's name was Augusta Helena Daniel. I can say that I have the most lovable parents on the face of the earth. Mm. They taught me right. They taught me from the beginning that everybody was somebody. And I grew up with no hate or bitterness in my heart at all. And I'm so thankful that I had the opportunity to, first of all, to go to grade school, first to fifth grade, at Swartout, and my mom was my teacher, and later on I moved to Livingston, and I'm a graduate of Dunbar High School. I am so thankful for my early schooling and my early training. The people at that time, the entire village was involved in rearing children. And I think that that's something that we've forgotten to stay in time, that all kids need discipline, they need direction, and I had some of the greatest mentors on the face of the earth. I'll try to mention a couple of them, but to do all of them would be an insurmountable task for us, and we want to keep this as short as we possibly can. Having gone to grade school in Swartout, I went to Dunbar High School. I graduated from Dunbar High School as salutatorian. I went on to Purdue A&M University, and there I was introduced to the Reserves Officer Training Corps, which is long for ROTC. And I graduated as a distinguished military graduate. I would be remiss if I did not talk about my late wife. She was named Marie Thompson Daniel, and she was part of what I am today. She passed away in 14. We were sorry to lose her, but the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And she was a beautiful lady that mothered our children, and we just had a good time together. I'd be remiss if I did not say that Clara came along after that, Clara Pickens, who my mom taught in the second grade, and I figured that she would be a real good catch. So we married, and we live happily until this day. I went in the military, and I had a beautiful military career. As I said, my late wife, Marie T. Daniel, was a great part of that. We raised our children in the military. I was fortunate to make all of my promotions on time. And of course, my last promotion was an early promotion to a full colonel. I've had all types of command jobs along the way. I served two tours in Vietnam. I was also in Germany, and a lot of stateside assignments. I had a beautiful career. Retired at the end of 87. We came back to Polk County in 88. We have made our life here ever since. I came back specifically to try to give something back to the great county that I grew up in. And considering my parents had made a great contribution here before, and I just wanted to continue that that legacy. We have been involved in several things since we have been back. Bird that I talked about, which is composed of, let me just name the counties, so 12 different counties in East Texas: Angelina, Nacogdoches, Sabine, Shelby, Houston, Newton, St. Augustine, Trinity, Jasper, Polk, San Jacinto County, and Tyler County, serving more than 13,000 clients with a staff of 591 people, and of course they come from different counties. To give you an idea of the funding that's received by BURIC in order to take care of our mission for mental health: $16 million for developmental disabilities, $12 million, almost $13 million. Mental health crisis services, $10 million, and early child intervention, $2 million. And primary care, about $500,000. We have a great dedicated staff that is out there each and every day trying to make a difference. We also started the Multicultural Festival, and that was designed to bring all races and ethnic groups together. It was built on three tiers. Number one, we were honoring the legacy of the late Dr. Martin Luther King. It's always on King's holiday. And we find that the three tiers composed of a free catfish dinner, chicken with all the trimmings, in order to get people enjoying themselves. And of course, we have a free health fair, $150 worth of medical tests for free, and the hospital donates all that for us. And then lastly, we wanted to show off some of the entertainment abilities in our county. So we have all the ethnic groups that are participating in our program, and it has just turned out to be a delightful affair. 20 years old now, and also back to BURIC, I've been there 20 years, so I'm about to tell my age, so it's probably about time for me to move on and do some other things. But I think I have a little bit more life in me, and I'm now pastor in Chestwood Baptist Church. I've been here 15 years. We have a good time here, and people are really learning their Bibles, and that's so pleasing, because without the Lord, none of this would have been possible.
Okay, yeah. Tell us about the beginning of Chesswood.
Chesswood began with a man by the name of Frank Hood. And he was the founder of this church, started a little hamburger stand just south of the church, down there close to Texas Bragg, which many of the older heads will know where Texas Bragg was. Great barbecue sandwiches. And then, of course, they moved to a small church on the property. I don't have any dates on those because it's been a while, and I did not refresh my memory on the exact dates. But the building phase, small church, to the fellowship hall, to the main structure, and I do know that this main structure opened in the middle 80s, I would say 86, 87. We came back to Polk County and the end of 87. Of course, we became members of this church at some future time. I don't remember the exact date, but we had no desire to attend here. We were running short of time one Sunday morning, and we said, well, let's go to Chesswood. And when we came here, we've kind of been here ever since. Had a teaching ministry here early on. I never served under Hood. He had gone and moved on to another. I did serve here for a short period of time under Frank Hood. And then he moved on out to Soda Baptist. And of course, during my teaching, people became acquainted with me, so I was ordained in 05, and I was called that same day to pastor Chesswood Baptist Church. And as I said, I've been here 15 years now.
Okay, when you were ordained, what church organization? What is it?
I was ordained by a friend of mine at a church in Houston, by Dr. Montgomery, Northside Missionary Baptist Church.
Okay.
Okay. Ordained there at 3 o'clock, came back here, and we were called to pastor this church around 6 o'clock, 6:30 that evening. And we've been here ever since.
Ever since.
Delightful people. And we've had a good time. So that kind of brings us up to date as to the things that we're involved in here in Polk County. But I'm a proud native of this county, and as a result of the Multicultural Festival, I was selected I think it's 2006 as Polk County End of the Year.
Well, congratulations. That's quite an honor.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm intrigued. You said that you grew up in Swarthout.
Yes, ma'am.
And you had siblings?
No siblings. I was an only child.
And so you were spoiled.
No, ma'am. I worked too hard to be spoiled.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, if you, they had mostly died out now, but if you talk to some of the older people, they would tell you that I felt sorry for him because I thought his daddy was going to work him to death.
And who was that?
Miss Alverta Mosley.
Oh.
Mr. L.A. Gibson. People will remember them. Hardin Ross, who was the mastermind behind that wonderful football team that we all talk about at Dunbar. It was just amazing of the mentors that entered my mind, and that I took guidance from them and leadership from them. It's truly amazing as to the number of people that came across my path, that my fabric today is molded after many of them. They were willing to teach, but they were willing to discipline.
Right.
And that I enjoy.
Yeah. So your mother was a school teacher.
My mother was a school teacher. My mother taught me in the first through the fifth grade at Swarthout. And by the way, my mother's sister also taught at Swarthout. My granddaddy owned the ferry. Most people don't remember this, but Swarthout used to be the county seat.
I didn't know that.
Of Polk County. And it's a marvelous little community there. And of course, I remember the church that my granddaddy donated the land for, Pleasant Hill United Methodist Church, there at Swarthout, that's still active today, to my knowledge. I'm not a member there, but to my knowledge, it's still active. And there's a historical marker out there that talks about all of this. But I was intrigued by my granddaddy owning the ferry.
Did he share stories with you about that?
Well, the only recollection I have of my granddad is that I enjoyed him. He had a large house, and he had a back porch, and he would go out every morning and shave. And at that time, of course, they put the lather on the face and all of that, how far we've come. And I would walk out there, and he liked to kid with me a lot. And my recollection of him is that after he finished his shaving, and he kind of catched me off guard, and we had the little wash basin, portable thing, and he had his water in there and his shaving cream, and then he would have dashed that on me, just throw it at me. And I got a big kick out of that. So I had a wonderful set of grandparents that I have a little bit of recollection of them, but I have great recollection of my grandmother. We would always have Bible quizzes at the table. And the night she died, we were having a Bible quiz. And of course, if I didn't know the answer, I would get lost a few minutes and I'd go back to the room where grandmother was, and she would give me the answer.
She'd give you the answer.
I would come back and answer the question, and she just slept away.
Oh, that's beautiful. So which grandmother is your mother's mother?
My mother's mother.
Okay, and her name?
I don't know. I never met any of my dad's parents, but they were from Fostoria over there.
Okay.
Somewhere. I know it's where my dad was born. But, okay. Grandfather, my mother's father, took dad under his wings, and of course they were very close, and he did a lot of the farm work after my daddy got old.
Let's get the names of your grandmother and grandfather.
My mother's name was Susan McGowan, came from Camilla.
Okay.
Over there. And my granddaddy was John F. McGowan, was a slave and wound up with 500 and some acres of land. I mean, he was really a very progressive guy in the county. And it all originated right there in Swartz.
I see. So M-C-G-O-W-A-N?
M-C-G-O-W-E-N.
E-N.
Yes. McGowan.
Because there are two.
That's exactly right. That's right. I have very fond memories of Sword Out because I didn't have any brothers and sisters, but I had some cousins. They were right close, and
right.
They were mine. And then I had another set of cousins and they are members of this church today. Bertha Baldwin and Janice Brooks, and of course, their mother, Miss Cunningham, is still living, and they're all a part of me.
No, cousins are wonderful.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
They really are. So then when you were fifth grade at Swartout, and then when you went to Dunbar, how did you get there? Did you have a bus that came?
Well, yes, ma'am. We had a bus. My recollection, the bus came and picked us up.
Okay.
Now, it was a long bus trip. Because
it really was.
Not only did we pick up kids in Swartout, but we picked up kids in New Willett. We picked up kids in Leggett. We picked up kids in East Tempe.
Oh my lord.
If you know what you know where that is.
I do.
And then on down through Goodrich. And
all on one bus?
We started very early in the morning. Huh. And to my recollection, our bus ride might have been an hour or an hour and a half.
Wow.
So it was a long time on the bus. And of course, I wouldn't trade anything for it because I have had one of the most beautiful lives that anyone could ever live.
I know you had a lot of wonderful teachers there, but what was your favorite subject and who was your favorite teacher, if you can remember?
Well, that's really hard to say because I had a lot of teachers that I extracted a little bit from each one. Now this might sound strange, but I love to, Mr. Earl Nathaniel was always one that was shoes with shine and nice starched shirts. And of course, I still do that today. Most people would say, well, the military caused you. It was not that.
It was
Mr. Earl because he was sharp every day. And of course, I would say that probably one of my favorite teachers was Mr. Harding Ross, who was my ag teacher. And I went on to major in agriculture in school. But I had Professor Robinson, Miss Irma Robinson, who was a principal and the principal's wife, and she taught history there. Don't know that I could single out a favorite subject.
Okay.
Other than agriculture, I enjoyed it. And I enjoyed it because, Dad worked me hard on the farm.
So.
up with the chickens.
Uh-huh.
And I tell him, you're at the church sometime. I just hated that old rooster. That old rooster would crow. And the first thing I know, Dad's knocking on the door. It's time to get up. And this is 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning.
So you had to get up that early to do chores before you got on that long bus ride.
Well, yes, ma'am. That's exactly right. Because early on, after I was old enough to drive, we had cotton that, and we had hands that we'd have to go pick up. I'd go pick them up, get them in the field, and then I was ready for the bus when it came.
Oh, okay.
So, and Dad got smart, and of course, while all of the activities were going on in the evening at Dunbar, which I did not play sports, we'd get out because it was sports activities in the afternoons. We'd get out around 2, 2:30, somewhere in that neighborhood. He was smart because he allowed me to drive the truck, and I would go straight to the farm and go straight
go to work.
Work and trying to get that Lower 40 done.
Oh, man. It's great memories, though.
Oh, wonderful memories. It taught us a lot of things. Growing up on the farm teaches you a lot of things. I don't back off from hard work. I think that's a large part of life.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's some of the things that we're missing today because kids are not taught to work.
Right.
They're looking for a handout.
So did your mother continue teaching for a long time?
Mom continued teaching until she passed away.
Oh, really?
As a matter of fact, Mom was died in 65, and she was teaching elementary school. As a matter of fact, Clara, my current wife, Clara Pickens, Mom taught her in the second grade. And she was telling me some time ago that her first, and which I will not call any names, her first grade teacher was a little on the mean side, and Mama was taught second grade, and she said she had the patience of Job, and I was so glad to get to her because that third grade teacher, she said, was really rough.
Oh, goodness. So, but your mom stayed at Swarthout, that school?
No, ma'am, she did not. She Swarthout closed.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
And then Mom came to Dunbar.
Okay.
And she taught at Dunbar. It was a little building that they just tore down out there. There were four rooms.
At Swarthout?
Yes. No, ma'am.
At Dunbar.
Dunbar. It was the first grade teacher, second grade teacher, third and fourth grade teacher. And Mom rode the bus. Ironic, my mom never learned to drive, and she always had a chauffeur, and she rode the school bus with Mr. Earl Nathaniel, and Mom was crippled with arthritis, and she, was crippled, and I can remember that Mr. Earl would pull that school bus right up to the edge of the porch there, and Mom would get on the school bus from there.
So she didn't ride the truck with you?
No, ma'am, because I was with the truck and in the field before Mom got home.
Yeah.
But I never, I can say this, that I have never been lonely. Mom, I don't know how she did it. But she always had great meals for us and for the workers that worked in the field. She would always have enough to share. But she was a very busy school teacher. And since I have been back, I meet many of her students. And no one has ever had any derogatory comment about my mom. So she meant a lot to me. She had a little strap in the desk drawer there, and people remember when in those days it was not well oiled, and so when you pull it out there was a noise, and when that strap started coming out, they'd start popping. So Mom was a patience of Job, but a great disciplinarian.
Right, she knew when the line had been crossed.
Ma'am. And then the students just loved her.
Well, this has been really interesting, and I thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I have interviewed several people I call it our age group, and it's amazing to me, you know, how much we were loved.
Oh, yes.
And I see that in your life. I mean, you've had, you know, love flowing through you, and now you're giving that love out, and I appreciate you.
Well, thank you so much. And my dad was well thought of here in the county. It's truly amazing how many friends we have.
Yeah, so.
And we miss both of them an awful lot, but as the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, one generation passes away and another generation comes forth.
That's right.
So we need to especially capture some of the things that our World War II generation taught us. I told them in Bible study the other day that we have five generations alive today. World War II generation.
Mm-hmm.
I was considered a part of the silent generation.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the baby boomers
mm-hmm.
of the war after they all came home. Mm-hmm. And then we had Generation X. And they're still Generation X until this day. But also the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
And so five generations are alive today.